Hello, I'm Father Ray Petrucci. Welcome to Thoughts for the Week. We have a delightful program with you today. We're a wonderful guest. We'll get to him. First, let me introduce my co-host. Delighted to have her with me today, and I hope she's delighted to have me with her. Ms. Dorothy Riera, welcome.
Thank you, Father. Always, always delighted. You know that.
Thank you so much.
Depends on your humor.
Oh, I always need a little stroke here, you know, a little pat in the head every once in a while. Now, what I'd like to do is to introduce you, our listeners, to a request that we always have that you contact us and let us know what's happening. What I'd like to do is to invite you either to write us or to email us. Let's begin with the written modem. What I'd like, if you wish to write us, please do so at Thoughts for the Week, Post Office Box 7466. That's Post Office Box 7466, Greenwich, Connecticut. The zip code in Greenwich is 06836. Let me repeat that for you. 06836. If you would prefer emailing, please do so at the following address, clemens10@aol.com. Let me spell that for you. It's CLEMONS, the number 10, at AOL.com. And while you're on the computer, I'd like to invite you to go to our internet magazine, Spirituality for Today. That's Spirituality for Today. You can find that at spirituality.org. That's spirituality.org. While you're there, you could read our articles and features, but also you will find Thoughts for the Week, our radio program available for you at your convenience, plus archive shows if you wish to listen to it. But again, I encourage you, please, to think about contacting us with maybe topics or some guests you may want us to pursue. So please think about that. Well, allow me to introduce our guest today, a very famous priest, international flavor to him. You'll hear an accent. It's not from Brooklyn, but from Micronesia, the islands. But we're going to welcome him. First, Father Bruce Roby, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
And Father Roby is the chaplain for campus ministry at Sacred Heart University here in Fairfield, Connecticut. And we're delighted to have you here. We would like on our program today to take a little bit of look ask a couple of questions regard to your background. First, you are from Micronesia. Micronesia is a number of islands.
Yes, group of islands. There are four states that make the nation, federated state of Micronesia.
And now, for our guests to know, that it's somewhere, is it kind of between Japan and Australia, or where is Oceania, I guess?
It's in Oceania, southwest of the Hawaiian Islands, south of Japan, by Guam, very next to
near
Guam.
Guam.
Guam is Guam, USA, so Guam is also Micronesia, but because politically they are US, and we are kind of independent, so they don't call it Micronesia anymore, Guam, but it is Guam, and Micronesia too.
Yeah. Now, we were talking about your upbringing. Now, you were, and so are the people, very involved with their faith, yet you don't have a resident priest on the island.
That's right.
So how do you
in my region, there are nine islands that are consist of Catholic islands, and we have only one priest on that, in that region. And we call those islands one parish. So each island is sub-parish. So the priest will stay on one island, and every 3 months he do his pastoral service, going around the island to baptize children, saying mass, married people, and then come back to the same island where he stay. But whenever he travel, he makes sure there is enough host, so that through Sunday every people can still receive a communion. But as I said, we're not distracted growing up on the islands, nothing distracted us. So the main thing for us is go to work or go to school and go to church. And church activities is very popular over there. That's what kids like to do. They like to go sing. Mostly we sing, practice, we sing a lot. And youth meeting every Friday and catechism every Sunday. So church is really very much part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, now when we grow up, you don't even tell kids to go to church anymore. Every Sunday, the church is packed with children.
Mm-hmm.
Youth, they go to church. It's just opposite from here.
Mm-hmm.
Here, it's very hard. I've been priest for 6 years. I hardly seen kids come to church by themselves. They have to be tracked by their parents
mm-hmm.
to come to church. But on the island, it's like it's a must for them. They have to go.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't go to church, something is missing in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my experience in my life. When
I find it fascinating that there is one priest for all the islands, and yet there is an abundance of churchgoers that participate
mm-hmm.
every single day and every single Sunday, just with one priest, and he has to commute all around the islands. Very different from here that we have 8 parishes in one town. So we have 8 priests in one town. And you have one priest for 3 islands.
Yeah.
I just find it fascinating.
Yeah, I know.
And the devotion, how you keep the devotion and your Catholicity is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Every morning, if there is no priest, every morning we have a format for, say, morning prayer,
mm-hmm.
which is led by the catechist. And the evening, every evening is rosary, mm-hmm. led by any one of those women, Marian movement, who joined the Marian, how do you call that group for Mary?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Marian,
the Daughters of Mary.
The Ordination of Mary.
Group, yeah.
Yeah.
So those
Marian
are the
daughters.
Ladies run the evening prayer, men run the morning prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody go to morning prayer or evening prayer before they go to church or before they go fishing or before they go to the farm. And prayer is very important part of our life, because when we grow up, they taught us that we can pray every time, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So before we go fishing, before we step into the water, we mm-hmm. do the sign of the
no
cross.
Prayer, yeah.
Before we climb the coconut tree or breadfruit tree, we do the sign of the cross. So.
Mm-hmm.
Church, I mean, religion is really part of our life. We cannot miss that.
It's an integral part
yeah,
of your
yeah.
life. And I think it's important that people realize, and tell me if I'm mistaken, Father, that in these islands, people live in villages and everybody knows everybody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're in a community far away.
That's right.
Everybody in the villages knows who's from the other villages.
Mm-hmm.
So that encourages the participation in
mm-hmm.
your prayer life.
We are very family oriented, and everything we do
mm-hmm.
things together. It is my belief that before the gospel arrived on our shore, God was there, but we didn't know His name.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the gospel came, they talk about love, caring, sharing, charity. It was already there.
Mm-hmm.
They're already charitable with each other.
Yes.
They look
mm-hmm.
after each other. And when the gospel came, then they learned the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Not too long ago, just last year or 3 years ago, they celebrate 100 years of Catholicism arrived on the island.
Mm-hmm.
So church is very young over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's growing. Every day is growing, yeah.
You know, and obviously, when we think about, and it was different from here, we're slowly, you're saying, getting the laity more involved in the life of or the functioning of the church. Within your experience, the laity are immersed in the church.
Yeah, they run, they're very strong. They run everything, they have meeting, it's very active. But here, some parishes, the lay people themselves, they're afraid.
Mm.
In some other parishes, the lay people are very strong. They,
mm-hmm.
they're proud of it. They take
mm-hmm.
over.
Mm-hmm.
But some are still afraid to be taken over as lay people.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to think that they're allowed. They're allowed to do certain things in the church.
Well, it had to be very, very, almost shocking, I would think, when you realize how there's almost that, From your experience as a young person growing up and everyone knowing everyone and everyone caring about everyone, to a point of saying, like, almost everyone here, people walking around not even acknowledging each other's existence. It must have been
I feel sorry with that, because on the island is part of the culture that when on my island only one road.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you pass by each other, you cannot miss to greet them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to greet each other.
Mm-hmm.
So here, I feel embarrassed sometimes, because mm-hmm. when I try to wave to people, they get mad at me, or they make faces to me.
Then it kind of discourages me.
Should I continue to be kind, or I should not be kind anymore? Let me be kind anyway. I just keep going.
Be kind anyway. That's
yeah.
Glad you.
But being here at the university is very good, because we're not only Catholic present here on campus, been here, I've been encountering non-Catholic, so different Christianity they're here, but they're very active in campus ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they're only Catholic active in the campus ministry, but we have Protestant part of our campus ministry, which is we work together. It help our ministry work well because of them. In the meantime, I also learned we have a non-Christian on campus.
Mm-hmm.
We have Jewish, we have a Hindu, we have Muslim. We also have people who are, they don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And a few times we have our service together. We've been doing a communal service. We've been doing inter-religious service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm really happy that I'm no longer just focused on Catholic, but being here on campus, one of my roles is being present, mm-hmm. being ministered to everybody, not just to the Catholic student. Which is I come to make friends with some of the international students. We have a lot of international students from India
mm-hmm.
and Saudi Arabia.
Hmm.
And I come to know them because they come to know me because they ask, who am I? What am I?
Hmm.
Then I say, I'm the priest for the Muslim. Then they say, what is priest?
Mm-hmm.
Then I will tell them, I'm a Shima. Shiman?
Shima? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then they, oh, so you are? Yes. So now they start to come to my office. They feel
mm-hmm.
that welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell them that I'm there for everybody, not just for the Christians or Catholics. So we are very mixed on campus ministry,
mm-hmm.
at the on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And I learn every day from them
mm-hmm.
and how to be a campus minister. As I never mm-hmm. study how to be a campus minister,
mm-hmm.
but being here every day, I learn something
mm-hmm.
by being encountered with them. Also, one of my role is just to be present.
Mm-hmm.
When there is game, show, I have to be there, so I've been there, so I come to know more and more people because I'm always present, I'm always available for them. I even become to know more staff at the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when they know you, they start to feel comfortable, then mm-hmm. they start to share their problems.
Mm-hmm.
They start to ask me, Father, I have a son that is not being baptized. So being here, I baptize 3 children of some of the staff on campus already.
Mm. Already?
When they start to feel comfortable, then they start to come to you and start to share their story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why is it important to have a campus ministry on the university, Father?
It's very interesting. Well, campus ministry, especially Sacred Heart, first of all, is a first university in the United States that run by lay people, not by the diocese or religious people.
Mm.
And the lay people, they're very proud of it, that they run it. In the meantime, it's very good that they want to have campus ministry. I think because they want to help us to, as I said, that we want the student when they leave campus, when they graduate from here, they're not just intellectual, being smart, but we want to form their spiritual life and their well-being. So when they leave, they can make big change in the world.
You know, I know you made a point of growing up on your island without all the technological little games and things that you have. But have you become more accustomed to social media and using social media? Or is it still one of those things that you don't...
Yeah, some people, they misunderstimate me because they thought I come from the island, I don't know about technology. But I've been helping a lot of people about technology and about the media. Because when I was a kid, I really liked technology. And when I was in college, luckily on the high school where I came from, among many schools, we have a computer, the Macintosh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That time, there were no internet, and so many government offices, they don't even have computer at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was at the University of Guam, I took one of the courses in computer class, and then I was into that. And when I was in Fiji, in South Pacific, they were a bit slow in technology. When I was there, there were computers. They brought computers from different bank. They donated those computers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was teaching a lot of students how to use the computer, and even the staff how to use the computer. I even tell them about internet. They say, what is that? So I have to tell them about that. Then the rector at that time, he went and purchased internet. Then we had internet on campus and the library. Mm-hmm. And when I came here, mm-hmm. I even teach some students how to use, even some priests, I teach them how to...
That doesn't surprise me.
How to use the computer. And then now with smartphone, I even encourage so many priests to get their smartphone. And today,
mm-hmm.
few priest friends of mine, they have iPhone, and I teach mm-hmm. them how to use that. And so funny because at the parish, my pastor, Father Dom, used to scold me when I'm on my phone.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. As you say, I'm not paying attention to him. And now I'm here. Everybody here on campus, they're looking at their phone. So I said, this is where I belong. I belong to this area where everybody are doing multitasking.
Yeah.
They're still communicating with each other. In the meantime, they're checking email or texting or Facebook on their phone. And that's something very important because we are in the world of technology this day. Mm-hmm. Everything is technology. And most of our advertisement is on technology, is on the media. We do Facebook, we do Instagram, we do Tweet, and of course we do global email. That's how we advertise our events here on campus. Mm-hmm. And it's very helpful because many people, they see our advertisement on the internet, on the media.
Now, I know you mentioned part of, I was going to ask about how you, the campus ministry reaches out to students. I know you've already talked about your presence, mm-hmm. how very important mm-hmm. that is. People get to see you, know you, interact with you. But what about the programs that you run? What is campus ministry doing this year? Now, you are particularly involved with any?
Yeah, before I came here, they run three retreats.
Mm-hmm. Retreats. Mm-hmm.
But when I came, they just keep continuing doing that because it's been very successful for the student. Mm-hmm. Lots of students they attend. So being here for a year, I went on the Encounter retreat, and that includes anybody. It's not
limited. I was going to ask, is that
all
for
are
everybody,
to
open
attend.
To all
yeah.
the student
mm-hmm.
body?
Also from different denomination can join that.
Well, what is the emphasis on that that type of retreat?
The Encounter, the first one I went to, the Encounter with Christ, it is the topic about friendship, how to build friendship among themselves, mm-hmm. and
yes.
about mm-hmm. themselves, and also with God and with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So they call that Encounter with Christ retreat. And the second one I went to, it was freshman retreat, and that's just for freshmen.
Yes.
Yeah.
All of them, just to welcome them and let them, not to be afraid, but mm-hmm. them build up their confidence as a freshman on mm-hmm. campus. And then the other one I went to, it was a winter retreat, because they have different topic, different activities we do that during the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three main retreats that happen throughout the year, run by campus ministry.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, beside that, during Lent and Advent, I introduced the Sacrament of Reconciliation from 11:30 to 12:15 before Mass, and it's been successful.
Mm-hmm.
I started last Advent. Every Wednesday, I was worried that nobody will show up, but so many show up, even some professors, they come to confession.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was very happy that I introduced that and it works and people come to
that's
that.
Great.
Now we are in the Advent of Lent, season of Lent. I started on Ash Wednesday. They were lined up before the 8 o'clock Mass, before Ash Wednesday Mass on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So every Wednesday, I will do that, the Sacrament mm-hmm. of Reconciliation. And mm-hmm. we also advertise it. It's on Instagram. It's on Facebook. I send out global email every morning prior to that time. And also we have posters there all over campus. We have big poster, medium poster, mm-hmm. small poster, even small one like a business card.
Mm-hmm.
We put that in the dining room
mm-hmm.
so that people can mm-hmm. see it and look at it. So that's how we use that media on campus, and that's how we, and those are other programs that we have on campus.
That's encouraging about the Sacrament of Reconciliation, that you have lines waiting
yeah.
before
mm-hmm.
Mass,
mm-hmm.
because that is one of the sacraments that slowly kind of was mm-hmm. less and less, I don't want to say, that kind of disappeared from the people. We used to go, when I was in school, mm-hmm. I used to go once a week to the Sacrament of Reconciliation.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so,
yeah. Well, you had to go before.
Slowly it kind of disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm pretty into that because, same thing, back home, as I say, once the priest comes to the island after 3 months, confession will be long line. Sometimes mm-hmm. the priest will hear confession from 3 to 5. He will say, we stop now because he's tired.
Mm-hmm.
We stop now, we'll continue tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like big thing back home, the confession.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I have to travel to Hawaii or Guam or West Coast where there are so many islanders,
mm-hmm.
all they have is confession.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I have to confession in-house because they will look for me wherever I am to come for confession. So it's a big thing for the islanders,
mm-hmm.
the Sacrament of Reconciliation.
Well, if you head home, of course, not only, I mean, they'll be able to come to you as someone who could counsel them or help them in a way that perhaps other priests may not be able to, because It's your home.
Yeah, it is. It is. Sometimes we cannot hide because they know. Once they know the priest there, everybody will come for help. They come for confession, for counseling, all kind of stuff.
Do you have a large amount of young women and young men going into the priesthood and religious life back home?
We do. Nowadays, we have a lot of... Before, we thought that we cannot be a priest because we're brown. We thought that priest is just for white people. And because the priest...
The missionaries.
Yeah. So yeah. The missionaries came, they're all foreigners. The nuns, they're all foreigners. So when I was a kid, I thought it's just for white people, not us. Then we started to learn that, no, we can become priests too. Because we have a first bishop, from local man from our island, he become bishop. Mm. So I was a kid that time, then when I saw him become a bishop, priest and bishop, I said, oh, that means we too can go there. Mm. So that's how I go there. But yes, we do have a lot of nuns. We have a few priests that they're priests now, and we have many seminarians, they're in Fiji now, and we have priests, we have nuns, they joined many kinds of different orders back home. Those orders came from here in the United States, they come from Japan and also Philippines. Those are the religious orders. But with the priests, we only have Jesuit and the diocesan.
And the diocesan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Jesuits were the one who brought the faith on the shore, mm-hmm. on the islands, yeah. And being here as a priest, somehow I say thank God, because it was the priest who brought the gospel to the islands. Now I'm bringing back the gospel back to... especially, they're from New York province. Mm-hmm. The priest, they're from New York province. Yeah.
The Jesuits. Wow. Wow. Speaking of that, do you have any students who speak to you yet about the idea of a vocation?
Here on campus?
Yes.
I do have one, but he's interested in the Jesuit, not in the diocesan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Once in a while, he will come and talk to me, and he talk about what he want in life and what kind of priesthood he want to go through. So he's more inclined to the Jesuit priest, yeah, mm-hmm.
It's a long, long career with the Jesuits.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
Yes.
When you take a look at your presence here, again, you're in your first year in campus ministry. Do you find the community, do you find the students able to form a community? Or, because I'm sure there's a lot of students that are day students, you know, they're in and out. Do you find a community forming?
I find that with our campus ministry, we have this PMT, mm-hmm. PMT, peer ministry team, mm-hmm. 19 of students. We have 19 students that they help us run the ministry. So, once they're there, they can reach out and bring more other people. Mm-hmm. Then we have a big group. In the meantime, because of the Greek life, mm-hmm. the fraternity, they come to church every Sunday, mm-hmm. and it's very useful, because when we ask for like soup, we have to donate canned soup or whatever, they mm-hmm. donate it. So there is a group over there that they're very easy to use them on campus. Mm-hmm.
Do you have an outreach to the wider community in Bridgeport or in the area?
Many of the students are part of the campus, not campus ministry, but the learning and volunteer. They go out and help in our town, in the Bridgeport, help the poor, and they do a lot of volunteer work.
Teaching.
We have a lot of students, they do community service in Bridgeport. Mm-hmm. Even some now spring break, some are in outside, they're in Guatemala,
and doing community service.
Yeah, they do.
And
yeah.
a lot
Costa
go
Rica.
To Appalachia also yeah. mm-hmm. to
so there
build.
Are many of them are into that, doing community service. Mm-hmm. And most of them are part of campus ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They're active in both campus ministry and the volunteer program. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering about your experiences, let's say with students, Catholic and non-Catholic. You have mentioned how your presence mm-hmm. is there. Is it something where you find yourself trying to be on the lookout for students who might, you know, be troubled or lonely, or is it something where you find maybe they are reaching out to you?
I've been there. I just experienced people will come to me to talk about. They complain about their roommate.
Oh.
They complain about yeah. their roommates, so they come and talk, then yeah. they go back. They know what to do after that. And I do know one or two students who are kind of slow, but we welcome them. They come and stay in the office.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But I don't see, I see they look after each other. This, because it's a small community, Sacred mm-hmm. Heart, mm-hmm. and we seem to look after each other, especially mm-hmm. started from the president. He's always there for every event. He's mm-hmm. always there. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday, he come to Mass. Mm-hmm. So he's present and make everybody that, okay, we are brothers and sisters. That's our father of air, the president, and the chaplain is there. So we are like family-oriented. We look after each other. I don't see anybody feel like left out. Mm-hmm. And I myself, I try to reach out to the international student. In the meantime, we have some staff who look after the international student. And whenever there is something happen, they look after them. They, for some somebody die, then we all come together to worrying about him.
Mm.
When we ban, when the so the president banned the 9 countries not to come here, the Muslim country, the next day we had a big service. The chapel was filled, mm-hmm. standing room mm-hmm. only. Mm-hmm. We had this service for those for the international students. So mm-hmm. that's how we reach out to them, and that's how they feel that they're at home. Since mm-hmm. after that, that's when I started to have a student came to my office and visit me. They just come and sit down, yeah. Muslim student. Because yeah. I was, before I do the gospel, I Assalamu alaikum. I greet everybody in their language, mm-hmm. and they feel comfortable with that. So after that, after the service, we start to have Muslim students coming to visit our campus ministry. I said, that's mm-hmm. good. This mm-hmm. is for you guys, not just for the Catholic. Mm-hmm. This room is for all students.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All are welcome.
Where is the campus ministry situated on campus?
Campus ministry is located in the main building across the registration office. The windows of my office is facing the chapel.
Okay, so it's right in that main yeah. main area. What is your staff? How many people are involved? And what
we have Larry Carroll is the executive director for pastoral service. I am the chaplain. We have Lorraine Monroe and Devon. They're the campus ministers.
Okay, what do they do? They organize the. You know, I'm just wondering what they do. Obviously, I know what you mm-hmm. do. Are they the one involved with the
make sure operational? That they do. Yeah, they make sure that the students are getting together. They meet. They make sure that the retreat is going on. They do other stuff besides sacramental thing that I do myself.
And I'm sure they're making it very welcoming for students
oh, yes,
of
yeah.
any type mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. from any religion or from, yeah, from any mm-hmm. background mm-hmm. to feel welcome and accepted.
They're very welcoming, and that's our office is always busy. It's a small office. Mm-hmm. We want it to be expanded because we don't fit anymore inside.
Yeah.
So we hope in the future they will give us a bigger room for the student to be able to sit around.
Well, they're building enough buildings.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, when I was involved in campus ministry, one of the great ways of involving students was food. Mm-hmm. Feed them, and they will come.
Yeah.
It's part of when somebody visits your campus ministry. Do they have opportunity just to sit down, relax, and also have some snacks?
We have candies every day. Every day there is chocolate or candies in Davos, and that's what attracts them. Sweet. They will come and sit down. And every Wednesday we have a Pickle Wednesday. So they know that Pickle Wednesday, everybody save pickle. Their money, then they come and eat pickle in the morning.
Well, we're very, very close to the end of our program. Well, what I'd like to do is to first encourage any of our listeners. First, thank you, Father Rowe.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
We're delighted.
Pleasure to be
what
here.
A journey.
And, yeah. Yep. And... we would like to encourage any of our listeners who know someone, perhaps they themselves, please go online, look up Sacred Heart University, Fairfield, Connecticut, Campus Ministry. You'll learn a ton of what Father Roby is doing. And also to our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join us again next week.